This episode, purchasing capital-intensive equipment. Well, folks, on occasion, you know, I get a hair up my butt to buy something big, you know, Bobcat, something like that, something cool. Capital-intensive, spend a lot of money. We thought we'd walk through. Johnny says I'm much better at this than he is, so we thought we'd walk through a little bit of a conversation on buying a capital-intensive piece of equipment. Welcome to the Handyman Pros Radio Show, home improvement and maintenance tips from the pros. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Handyman Pros Radio Show, where our goal is to help save you time, money, and aggravation on your home maintenance and repair. This edition is entitled Purchasing Capital Intensive Equipment. And to help me explain, I am here with the man of the hour, Mr. Johnny. Johnny, what has been going on this week? Anything exciting? Besides, you were just came back from vacation.
I just came back, yeah, from Florida, from the Keys, from the Florida Keys. So probably give you guys an update on some of that. There's some interesting things down there that, you know.
The Florida Keys bar scene has now had a major economic punch.
Yeah, the bar scene is alive and well. The beach scene, you know, that's all alive and well. Guys, if you really want to work, you can go down there and work. Nobody wants to show up to work down there.
Johnny, that's a whole show. We really need to do that.
We'll do that. We'll do that in another segment, but there's a little teaser for you and I'll tell you the conversations I had with the HVAC guys down there. So.
That we need to do that. That's a show. We'll do that as a show.
We'll do that later.
we really.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And especially, I think the thing I was most interested in, we are really, let's tease it, Johnny. I'm just going to tease it. The thing that I was most amazed with this time, you came back and said that the HVAC company would actually pay for a place for you to stay if you would come to work for them, which, folks in the Keys, is worth a boatload of money.
Yeah, a boatload of money.
Plus, for all you people that live in the north, you might want to just work in the Keys in the winter and go back north in the summer. And
they
give you a place to stay.
As well as, and I'll give you other stories I know of some of the, of some of the painters that I ran across.
Yeah, let's do a show.
There's some good ones. Anyways.
All right. Well, folks, before we get started, we just want to have you, if you would, like and subscribe both our YouTube channels and our podcasts. Give us a good review. We always appreciate it. We're trying to get the word out there. If you do have any questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email, questions@handymanprosradioshow.com. We do answer those things, and we're really interested in what your feedback is. Do you like the shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and also send the links out for all that. All right, Johnny, let's talk about doing some big stuff. And I kind of wanted you to lead this one because you ask me questions, and so I sort of thought it's better for you to do it than me. So,
this came about, and I'll tell you, this came about because what I see a lot on the boards is that, there's a lot of handymen out there or homeowners, and they're wondering about buying some big stuff like trailers specifically equipment like that.
Yeah.
And that's what brought this to my attention was that I see a lot of people, asking about how to, buying trailers. And so then we got into buying other big equipment. Now, I don't buy that kind of stuff. You've bought that kind of stuff. You've bought trailers. You bought big equipment.
I bought a camper for working on job sites.
You got that, and then we did an episode on rent versus buy type of thing. So, but we can touch a little bit on that. But I want to ask you, when I see guys out there that are looking for trailers, and I'm not, but it got me thinking, where do I even start?
Yeah.
Where do I even start? Okay, I got a car or I got a truck, but I really like to keep things inside in a trailer I can just pull to a job site. So,
right.
Where do I start?
So part of it is you just have to kind of, there's a bunch of different things. I broke it down into your needs. Like, what do you really need? The numbers, obviously, the money, like, what are you going to invest? Hidden expenses. This is probably one of the bigger things is, like, what are the hidden expenses of owning a piece of equipment? And we can do a bit of a compare and a contrast here. Like, I thought we would talk about buying a Bobcat and or buying a trailer. Those are two kind of big capital things that a lot of guys like, trust me, I would love to have a Bobcat. Now I'll get into the reasons why I don't have a Bobcat, where I do have multiple trailers, and we'll get into the reason why I've had, well, I have one trailer now, but I've had multiple trailers, and we'll get into the reason why to not have it. And a lot of that has to do with justifying the expense. But I really just kind of want people to understand like what it is that, how the process is kind of simple. Like, what do you really need, you know? And then how convenient is it as well? Mm-hmm. Because like, for example, John, you're talking about people want to drag a trailer to a site. There are other concerns in doing that other than just, yes, it's great to have all your tools in one place. One is, where do you park when you get to a job site? Are you going to leave the trailer there on the job site when you get done? Can you make it different? I mean, when we compare and contrast our vehicles, John, you run out of essentially an SUV. I run out of the Home Depot on wheels, aka the Nissan 2500 mm-hmm. high roof van full of boxes and full of stuff. We run in a bit of a different prospect in that sense, in that I've tried to carry a lot of things with me. You try to customize your loadout for each job.
Correct.
And both ways work,
yep.
Right? It's very successful for you. It's very successful for me as well. There's a lot of, you know, again, these back to these hidden expenses. I probably have a lot more hidden expenses than you do. But at the same time, you have a hidden expense in that you have to load your vehicle every day. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do that. Mine's basically, you know, it's loaded almost all the time. And that's the same thing with that trailer, right? So and I just wanted to qualify, too, between box trailers and open trailers, too. Because don't forget, I personally think anybody that's in construction should have some kind of an open trailer. It's just one of those things. You don't realize what you'll use it for until you have one. Probably the biggest thing I use my trailer for of all the crazy things is trash.
It's trash. That's what we used it for. Every time we use it, that's basically what it is.
Yeah, I originally bought it Johnny, it's going to be 30 years I've owned my 5x8 trailer, and it's 29 years old right now. It'll be 30 years old come up in about August. Pretty good investment when I look at it. I bought it for the vending company, of all things. I was going to move vending machines on it, and it's just a single axle 5x8 trailer. I did put high sides on it. I put 4-foot high sides on it. They're not sides, they're metal rails. And then we can lay, like in my case, we lay lattice or plywood up on the sides to make it a true trash trailer. I did that to be flexible. I originally did it just to put vending machines against it so they didn't fall over. And it does have a steel floor for the same reason then that vending machines are really heavy. I wanted a steel floor. I got a heavy axle on it. Anyway, we can get into specs. We're not going to get into specs. But that's part of the need. The original need was that. That's the single, I'll tell you what, of all the equipment that I have, and I mean all of it, that is the one that has made or saved me more money than any other piece of equipment that I own, period, end of conversation, other than investment accounts and homes. That's it.
Yep.
It is the single piece of equipment I have made or saved, and I use it interchangeably. It has allowed me to do things that I could not do otherwise. Carrying trash, using it as a, you know, mobile dumpster, for lack of a better word, moving equipment, moving lumber.
We pick up, you know, a whole floor in that thing. From when we went one time. I mean, it was everything. I don't know how else to move stuff around unless you had something like that.
Yeah,
it wasn't going to happen.
And so that's one of those things, I think, you know, an open trailer. And I mean, I move appliances on it. I move, you name it. I mean, parades, I've put people on it for parades. I don't move people on a regular basis on it. But we did a parade with it, Johnny.
There's plenty of families that you could probably put in that thing.
So with that, you know, with that, I want to say an open trailer. I really think if you don't have one, you know, you almost need one. And there, I would say personally, you know, we'll get into the thing. If I had to do it all over again, I'd get a small tandem axle trailer instead of like a 16-foot tandem axle trailer versus my 5x8 for just mostly because I could put more volume. You're hauling trash. Most trash that we haul as handymen is really voluminous, meaning it takes up a lot of space. It's not necessarily very heavy, but it just takes up a lot of space. And I can fill that 5x8 trailer up really quickly, especially with like brush and just, you know, just stuff. Yeah. I can't say I ever overloaded. If I overloaded, I did it when I was moving vending machines. So I've never overloaded it otherwise, that I'm aware of. I mean, and I roll across the scale, so I know, you know.
So you've got the big stand-up thing, truck, but
yes.
For guys out there that, you know, want to keep, like, they're bringing, you know, the portable miter saws and all kinds of that kind of stuff to a job all the time. And, you know, you can't really put it inside a truck versus, you know, you can, but if you really want to take care of things, you know, inside a closed trailer, would be nice.
I can in my truck. It's very difficult because they take up a lot of space.
That's right? What I'm saying. Yeah.
So it's really more challenging. Yeah. I mean, if you want an enclosed, I love enclosed trailers. I love the concept of an enclosed trailer. I really do. I've almost bought one multiple times because it would really be nice to have all. It's really nice. One thing I can say, it's really nice to have all your stuff, to have a variety of stuff when you go to a job site, so you're not running back and forth all the time to go
that's
get.
That's what I'm talking about.
This and that and mm-hmm. the next thing. It's really, really nice. I've done that inside my truck. I still have to load out certain things on a job per job basis because I just, like, for example, I don't carry all my drywall tools with me because if I'm doing a drywall job, I have a box that has my drywall stuff in it. I grab the box and throw that in the truck. Now, I always have a little bit, like I have enough to do patches, but like if I'm doing a true couple sheets of drywall, I carry a different set of tools for that. But the big trailers are great. I mean, if you're going to do a trailer like that, get a 16 footer, really don't think about getting anything else. And the reason I say that is you want to be able to put 12 foot lumber in and have a little bit of room in the front and back to be able to move stuff around. Cause remember your trailer needs to be able to move product as well. And same thing with your truck to a degree. I mean, I can carry an awful lot of lumber in my truck, but I'm limited to 12 foot pieces because it's only 12 feet open. And then I've still got stuff sitting on the dash.
Right.
And so that's
through the windshield.
Well, one and the same. When you hit the brakes hard, it's through the windshield.
Isn't that what just saying for a friend, right?
I wish I could say that was for a friend. Exactly. It's only been one windshield, Johnny.
Yeah,
only
just one. Just one.
But one was enough. Yeah, one was enough. But, you know, and one thing is think about how you organize it too, right? So one of my favorite things about if you're going to contemplate this stuff, get some shelves, right? And get some road rated shelves or build them. But when I say road rated, remember, Johnny, remember when we were talking about the pizza oven? We did a video and we built a pizza oven on a trailer. What was one of my questions? I said, is he moving this thing a lot?
Yeah, no.
And in that case, it was no. That made
a difference in how the thing was going to be put together and designed.
Put together, yeah. Right. Don't think you're going to get away with the plastic shelves you buy, you know, the pre-made.
Yeah, for your,
It's not going to work. Stuff rolling down the road has a different set of characteristics. It moves a lot more than you want to think. And it jumps and bumps. Every time it hits a bump, it gets slammed. So buy decent shelves. Anyway, and keep it organized. Don't throw all your stuff in the back of the box and then have to dig through it because that's a waste of time. You might as well load it out at the house or the garage and do what John does and just throw it in the truck as you need it if you're just going to have it a mess in there. Right?
Well, and then that comes down to, you know, justifying even why you have a trailer. Mm-hmm. So if you're already thinking about having a trailer, you're probably already going through in your mind why you need one.
Right.
So that's why we had this discussion of what you do with it, what you're doing with them.
Right. What's your need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's guys out there that are really, you know, building up a business and I can see that, you know, without one, you know, you're handicapped.
You have a handicap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to be able to take your stuff and or protect it.
Yes.
So. And the protection comes in that you close it up from the weather and the elements and out of sight, out of mind, you lock it. Nobody can see it. So theft protection is a point. Now, do think about getting locks for your hitches or your wheels because the problem is they'll steal
the whole thing.
Yep. And then what do you, you know, then you're really in massive trouble. So with that, but all of the, so, but even in this case, right? So if you're putting it, this is back to, so we talked about the need. We've talked a little bit about the numbers here, but I want you to understand there's these little extra things are things that you have to add into the numbers. This is acquisition cost, right? So like I say, have a ball hitch lock of some sort. I have two. I have one that fits up and actually locks up the ball itself, so you can't put anything in it because it's in the ball. And I also have the hitch lock that locks the hitch across the top. You can get through that stuff, but it's going to take you time, you know, and tools, time and tools, basically, right? And that's okay, but for security reasons, past that, you're not going to stop somebody if they really want to steal it. They're going to get it, okay? Yeah. It's that simple. But this is going to take time and tools, which gives me enough time to reload. And, oh, did I say that, Johnny? Well, I did. Right. So you'll be on camera long enough that I'll get a notification. And the next thing you're going to see is look for the flash. So, yeah. You know, and smile.
So the, I guess from the perspective of having a trailer, I guess it's just once again, you know, knowing where you're at in your business and what you're going to do with it.
Right.
What other kind of costs, you know, do you see, you know, and I guess here's the question that I really kind of started off with is that, let's say that I need one, where do I start looking? You know, where would I even, because do I want to buy a new one? Do I want to buy a used one? You know, and so on and so forth. So
this is okay. New versus used. Let's talk about box trailers in particular.
Yep.
New used. Let's start used. Used box trailers are diamond like. They are really hard to find because almost everybody that has a box trailer, if it's in decent shape, and folks, this is your business you're putting out. If it's for your house, it's different. But if it's for your business, you want one that's pretty decent. You don't want it, you know, dented and beat the hell off and stuff like that.
And that's a good point. It's your reputation.
It's your reputation, right? And it is your reputation. And I will tell you, if you're looking for one used, they're out there, but you've got to be diligent and you've got to be ready to go. And I say this because when I bought the camper to use it for the job site thing, it's the same thing. There are campers out there. There's a million campers out there for sale. The question is, if you have, say, a price point in mind, and if you know you can actually buy, if you do enough research, you can figure out where you can buy one of these things. But if one comes up, you better go. And when I mean go, I mean you text, email, go. You need to go. If it's right, you got to go, you know, and you better have cash with you because nothing speaks in the used market like, hey, I got, you know, $25, $100 bills ready to go. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not fooling around here kind of thing. But they're hard to find that are decent, you know, because I've looked.
Yep.
And they're out there. So I always on a box trailer, I always default to new because if I can swing it new, I certainly can swing it used. And I'm always looking, you know, one of the advantages to used is that, for example, it might have some shelves already in it, which can save you quite a bit of money. My truck, for example, when I bought my truck, John, it had a shelving kit in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I estimated the cost to be $1,000 because I looked it up. You know, I took the number of units that were there and they were actually customized for the truck, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was about $1,000. And they didn't add it in, or they, meaning the people that sold it, didn't consider it as part of, you know, as worth anything. Well, to me, it was $1,000 because it's $1,000 I didn't have to put in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to put shelves in it no matter what. So that was a bonus. And that you can get on the used side. Downside to used just is, you know, understand your maintenance aspects. And the good news is on trailers, there really isn't all that much in maintenance that you have to worry about. Bearings on the wheels. If it's got brakes, you need to look, you know, have a look at the brakes, although brakes on a trailer are as easy to do as they're as easy to do as brakes in a car, so it's not a huge expense. But mostly it's the axle bearings and things like that, and then general condition. What's the body look like? You know, is it in decent shape? Is it dented? Is it you know, whatever, right? So those are the concerns. I want to talk about hidden expenses for all capital equipment. Folks, understand the hidden expenses. We were going to talk about a Bobcat, right? And I've wanted a Bobcat forever and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you go to look at buying one and there's a couple of things that pop out straight away. Hey, where do you park it? And that goes the same thing with trailers. Where do you park it? Okay. Can you park it wherever you want to have it? If you live in an HOA neighborhood, they can get testy about trailers, which whatever,
Speaking of trailers, you're going to need a trailer to buy that thing.
Yeah. Right. You know, right. Yeah. And you need a, trailer for a bobcat as well. Right. Which is a whole nother expense. Like it's, you need a trailer. It's a heavy piece of equipment. You're going to need a 10,000 or more gross vehicle trailer to haul a bobcat around. So that's a hidden expense. Maintenance on a bobcat is a lot. Like it's a lot, you know, like you, if you're going to maintain it and keep it up, hydraulic lines and not fuel so much, but tracks or wheels, you know, and just depending on what you're getting, hydraulics, buckets, accessories, attachments, blah, blah, blah. We did the numbers, and renting is really fabulous.
Yep. It sure is.
It's just one of those things. And I looked at a new one and kind of one that I didn't need a huge trailer for and this and that. And I was going to have to run that thing about 300 days a year for it to make any money. And I was like, I'm not running it 300 days a year. I don't need it that much. You know, I really don't.
Yeah.
And so
how much was that?
I was looking at them new. The one, it was like at the time, this is a number of years ago, it was like $75,000. So they're worth it if you need it.
Yeah.
You know, if you need, but you really need it and you need to be really working it. You know, trailer's a little different, right? So talking about an open trailer, you can buy a new open trailer for in the $1,500 to $2,000 range, maybe $2,500. I might be a little dated on the numbers because COVID is kind of everything into haywire. But $2,500 you can sit on because you're dumb. If you look at it as a dumpster fee, just for example, say if you're charging $400 for, if you get $300 to $400 for a dumpster for a 20-yard dumpster, and if you don't fill it up all the way and the neighbors don't fill it up and everybody on the throws their crap
mattresses.
In the yeah, right. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? That $300, you'll get that back pretty quickly. Yeah. You know, you'll take it down to the dump and you'll spend, depending on where you got, Johnny went to the dump yesterday. I'm down here, you know, in the place that I go every once in a while. I went down to the Houston County landfill and it was $7. It was $9. $9. They went up. But it was $9 to go to the landfill to get rid of a half a ton. I was like, dang, man. When I'm at home, it's a $75 minimum, you know, but still it's less than hiring a dumpster. Right.
Yep.
So, but I really like that $9 for, you know, the trip charge. It's like, oh, sweet. Dang, why can't I get that, you know, in and around the house? Anyway, that's part of that equation, right? I mean, if it's like, what are you actually saving? Well, in this case, you're saving, just say you save $200 a pop. You only need to do 10 trips.
And then you bought it up.
Yep. And you pay for it, right? Yep. And that's doable, right? That's doable. You know, and a maintenance on a trailer, folks, is you're going to need tires every once in a while.
Kind of minimal. I mean, from that perspective,
every once in a while, I think I've put one set of tires on my trailer in 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's because I ran something over. It had nothing to do with the fact the tire was worn out. It was I punctured it with, I drive in a landfill, I pump, you know, full, it hit a nail, or not a nail, it hit a bolt.
Yeah.
You know, it cut through the tire. Anyway. So you know, you don't have that. I've never replaced the axles cause I keep them greased. Never replace the bearings. Don't need to. I keep them greased and they're good to go. You know? Yeah.
So when you calculated on the Bobcat, so versus that, I mean, now you're talking about a big piece of capital equipment. That's, that thing's gotta be going to make you money.
Gotta be going.
It's gotta be going. That asset cannot sit still.
It can't sit still. You just don't park it.
Yeah.
You know, and I see these guys that park them and I'm like, rent it, you know,
exactly.
Rent,
so
rent it on a monthly rate, you know, look at the monthly rate.
Yeah. It's kind of the one and done, right? You just need it for the day or 2 days or something like that. Cause you could do the work of like about 50 guys with one of these things and you're done with it. And what is it? $300 a day?
At Lowe's or Home Depot, or not Lowe's, excuse me, but Home Depot in our area has the Home Depot rental center and they rent it with a trailer. So you hook it up to your truck and drag it. And it's about $300-$320 a day at the current times, you know? And so you can't beat that. Sunbelt Rental will deliver them and it's about $500 a day. And even that's not too bad. Cause of course your time is worth something going to get it and coming back. Okay. So, you know, honestly, just factor that in. But when you factor in that amount of time that you save, that's where it really starts to pay. And you, because if, like you said, you can do the work of about, you can do the work of 10 guys in an hour.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that by hand. There's just some things don't do by hand. And that can be one of them.
Right.
Just factor it into the cost, factor in the cost of using it. So, and see, now we're getting into justifying the expense, right? This is all justifying the expense.
Yep.
And all folks in that process, all you have to do is justify expense, right? You don't have to worry about anything, but just make sure you have good numbers, especially if you're trying to quote a job, make sure you have good numbers and you know what you're looking at and justify the expense, right? So that's, you know, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good discussion. I hope you guys out there, give us some feedback on this and, you know, talk about what kind of big capital stuff that you've bought. I mean, it's interesting, to me, you know, what you're doing, why you're doing it, the expenses and, you know, that you incur and the profit that you're making off of it.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, if you're really considering a trailer for like all your tools and stuff, just think it through. Just don't work on a knee jerk. I know most of us don't, but think it through, because dragging a trailer around is not bad. It just is another skill set, and you got to get good at backing it and parking it and stuff like that.
Yep, and especially around here, there's some pretty challenging driveways.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there is that. But give us some feedback, guys.
We'd love to hear it. We hope this is helpful.
Yeah.
I hope I've kind of tried to lay out a little bit of what it is
that
when you're considering buying a piece of capital equipment, you know, and I really think the biggest takeaway I want to give away is don't let your emotions run this deal. Cause like, trust me, I'd love to have a Bobcat or a Traco, you know, like the manly guy.
Larry's in there. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I love to run that stuff, but.
Oh, come on. Why don't you just go for the D9 or something, you know?
Don't. I looked at one.
A big old Caterpillar.
I did at one time. I'm like, that really got into, where do you park that son of a gun? That's really
anywhere you want.
Well, no, that's just the problem. That's not the case, you know. So, all right, Johnny, with that, we need to know, do we look at the spaceship landed? It landed at your house the other night. It took a look at you. It scanned
you.
You
know,
liver.
There's something
your
you might want to
said send them back.
Yeah, there's something you might want to take a look at. You might want to buy
a spaceship.
I want
one.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I don't think Elon Musk is the only guy that can send off rocket ships.
That's
right. Hey, what can I say? All right, folks, with that signifies the end of the show. Please like and subscribe to our podcast. Send us an email, questions at handymanprosradioshow.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you want a topic, you want us to talk about something, if you enjoy the show, let us know. We like the feedback. Johnny, we heard somebody told us they love to listen to this thing at work because we actually, are fun to listen to. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but I'm glad somebody's out there saying it.
All right. With that, Johnny, take us
home,
baby.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening to the Handyman Pros. We'll see you next week on the Handyman Pros Radio Show.